Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What he's saying is that I might take hold of what's taken hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth or forward unto those things which are before, I press toward. There it is again, forward, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark, the target that God has for me, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, spring forward. Spring forward. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, spring forward. Tell them it's more than a clock. It's your life. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to share some of Mandy and my wife, Mandy, and my business that I've never talked about before. We have a problem, and it is our alarm clocks every morning. She sets hers. I set mine. Then we proceed to see who can out-snooze the other. How many of you love to hit the snooze button? How many of you have always wondered why it's a 9-minute snooze? Who came up with 9 minutes? Why not just an even 10? Or let me set it. I'd like a 2-hour snooze would be good. How many of you have ever woken up like 10 minutes before your alarm's supposed to go out and you just hope before you turn over, I hope it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I hope I still got 3 or 4 hours to sleep, and you turn over and it's 10 minutes before you, and you sigh heavily as you get your next 10 minutes in. And then there's those times where you lay down at midnight and you wake up and look at the clock, it's 12:45, and you know you've got a few more hours left. It's exciting. When I set my alarm every night, I set 3 alarms. The first alarm that goes off usually between 5 and 6 a.m., and that's, I want to get up at this time. I cancel that alarm when it goes off. The second alarm, I need to get up right now. I cancel that alarm, and the third alarm is, you have to get up right now. People are waiting on you. People are depending on you. And so we just go back and forth. Sometimes we'll hit that snooze 3 or 4 times each, and I can hear really heavy sighs from Mandy when my alarm goes off. But then she acts like it's nothing when her alarm goes off. And so our room starts chirping about 5 a.m., snooze, 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 snooze. There's a lot of us that I believe when God calls us, we do the same thing. That we hit snooze saying, God, I know I need to, just not right now. God, I know there's something important in front of me. I just don't have time to get to it right now. Just let me sleep. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest miracles in the Finder household is I only have to wake my kids up one time. I literally go in there, no matter what time it is, time to get up, turn on the lights, and they come stumbling out of their room, half-dressed, with sleep in their eye, but they get in the truck on time. I've never had to wake them up more than once. Now, when I was a kid, Pastor Becky had to come in there 5 or 6 times a morning and wake me up. Sometimes physically prop me up in bed, take the covers off so I couldn't get comfortable again, turn on every light in the house, make a lot of noise. I remember those days. And I think a lot of us, when it comes to the things of God, God is always, listen to this, God is always trying to get us to bigger and better. God is always trying to get us to our destiny, the mark, the target that he has destined for us, that he has created for us. God is always trying to get us to fulfill calling and purpose. But before we can fulfill purpose or fulfill calling, we have to answer the call. And we cannot hit snooze. So this morning at 2 a.m., it went from 1:59 a.m. to 3 a.m. We jumped an hour. Now, there's legislation finally in the state of Texas, actually across the nation, and it's the farthest it's ever been, that we're going to do away with daylight savings, finally. It's an antiquated method. It worked 100 years ago. It doesn't work now. There's really no need for it. But we jumped ahead, and we lost an hour. But I'm okay with losing that hour because I work outside a lot, and so I'd rather have the hour at the end of the day. Because I'm not trying to get up and mow grass at 6 in the morning. I would rather do it at 6 in the evening. And so when we jumped that hour, what we literally did was, is we took where we were and we manipulated the clock. Nothing really changed except we manipulated the clock to make us feel like it's further than it really is. Can I tell you that there's a lot of people in your life that would love to manipulate you? I talk to our kids about this, and I talk to our leaders about this. Manipulation is a terrible thing. To manipulate people or to allow people to manipulate you is anti-God. You should not let anybody form you or fashion you into what they want you to be. You should always be formed and fashioned into who God wants you to be the image of Christ, to look like God, to sound like God, to walk like God. And anybody that is anti the image of God in your life and is wanting you to look like them or sound like them, you need to cut those people off. But for those people that are pushing you towards God to sound and look like God, those are the people that you need to embrace. And so when we talk about springing forward, Paul tells us in one of the greatest and one of my favorite passages of Scripture, he tells us about his walk with God. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I love one translation says, "I'm not everything I should be, but thank God I'm better than I used to be." He said, "My whole purpose now as Paul and not Saul is I want to take hold of the thing that has taken hold of me." There is a difference between God holding on to us and us holding on to God. God will hold your hand, but have you ever tried to hold somebody's hand or hug somebody that didn't want to be hugged? And they shook your hand, it was like a cold fish. They just froze up and stiffened up when you tried to hug them. Sometimes God is wanting to lead us. God is wanting to bring us further in our walk with him, further towards where he's called us to be. But when he takes us by the hand, we don't hold him back. And so Paul said, he said, "I'm doing my best to take hold of that which has taken hold of me." Then Paul says this. He says, "This one thing I do in my job of moving forward." He says, "I forget those things which are behind me." There's two enemies to your forward progress, your forward movement, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But I see a lot of people in church today, and I see, when I say church, not Living Way, in the church universal, that are making lots of motion, but they're not really moving. There's a lot of water being splashed, but not a lot of water being moved. There's a lot of movement being made and a lot of noise being made, but there's not a lot of progress that is happening. Movement does not equate progress, and never should we mistake movement for progress. Progress is looking at where you are and saying, "I'm further than I've ever been before. I'm better than I've ever been before. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better believer." And so the two greatest enemies of forward progress are this. It is the past. That is what is behind us. And this is what Jesus would say about that. And I really don't want to preach about that because I've preached about that quite often. But Jesus said unto them, Luke 9:62, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now that is not sugar-coated. That is not what I want to say. That is literally Jesus Christ talking to someone who said they want to be a follower of Jesus and that they will follow him with everything that is within them. Jesus turned around to them and said, "Listen, if you can't put your hand to the plow and be a forward thinker and a forward mover," then he said, "you're not fit for the kingdom of God." That's a strong saying, but that's what Jesus said. But I really don't want to talk about the past, because you know what we preach, that the past is the past. I use the past for a reference point. I use the past to see how far I've come. I use the past as a testimony to see what God's done in my life, but I don't dwell in the past. One of the most dangerous things for believers or anybody is nostalgia, because nostalgia actually makes it in our mind that the past was better than it used to be, than it really was. That high school was really great. It wasn't that great, y'all. That college was the time of your life. Not really. Waking up in somebody else's bed, not knowing where you are with a headache the size of New York is not good. Scraping money together so you can buy two things of Top Ramen so you can have something to eat the next day is not good. You're a whole lot better off today than you were in college, no matter how. Now listen, it might have been more fun than waking up at 6 a.m. and going to work, but it wasn't better. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you your past is better than your present or better than your future. I promise you that if you are in God, where you are should be better than where you were. And in faith, we say that where we're going is better than where we are. I wish I could get some help right there. So the first greatest enemy is a forward progress is the past. It's what's behind us. But this is what I really want to preach on for the next 10 or 15 minutes. It's what's to the left and right of us. So the past is what's behind you, but to the left and right is what's around you. For most believers in this place, your past is no longer an adequate enemy. It's no longer a strong enemy. For most of us that are living for God, it's not the things that are behind us that mess us up. For most of us, where we are now, it is the things that are around us that keep us from becoming what God has called us to be. So when we talk about left to right, I love, there's a few portions of scripture I want to share with you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. Everybody say focus. Joshua 1:7 says this, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law with Moses, which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. Joshua said your success as a follower of Christ depends on how focused you are and how much you can focus on where God has called you to go and the direction he's called you to walk. He said your success that God has planned for you cannot happen if you're continuously looking around you instead of in front of you. Say, what does looking around mean? Looking around means you look at your checkbook and say, there's no way, I don't have enough money. You look at your education and say, there's no way, I don't have enough schooling, I don't have enough intellect, I'm not smart enough. Looking around you is looking at your family and say, my family's never been able to do this, and so I can't either. That's where you are. That's not where you're going. Don't ever mistake where you are with where you're going. God has a new place. He's not moving you from where you are to duplicate or replicate it again in your life in 3 years. If God calls you forward, it's because there's something different in your tomorrow than there is in your today. And the only way that you're going to get where God has called you to be is to focus on his word. God, if your word said it, then I claim it for my life. And in faith, I'm going to hit the mark that you've called me to be at. I'm talking to somebody today that you've been looking around you. And you got to realize that what's behind you and what's around you is not as great as what's in you and what is before you. And because I've got a power working on me, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, it allows me to wake up out of my slumber and to spring forth out of my bed and say, God, today is going to be different. I'm not going to have the same day I had yesterday, but I'm stronger than I was this time yesterday. I'm smarter than I was this time last year. And God, you've got something great in front of me. The wisest man to ever live, Solomon, wrote in Proverbs 4:27, do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Solomon would say that evil lurks around you. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You can live around fear without being afraid. You can live in this world and realize that I'm not of this world, that I'm in it, but I ain't of it. That I can be around craziness and not allow the craziness to get in me. Come on, we know what family reunions are like. That I can go to work with a bunch of heathens and realize that their problems are not my problems, that their situations are not my situation. That's why when they're over at the water cooler running their mouth about the boss or running their mouth about what their ex-wife said, you just keep your face set like a flint and your hands to the plow and say, God, I'm not going to get off into that conversation. I'm not going to give that conversation my attention, because what I give my attention is what I'm going to focus on. And what I focus on is what I'm going to faith into being. Then I love this in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1, read it. It's an amazing vision that Ezekiel has. And Ezekiel has this, he sees some crazy things. If it wasn't the Holy Ghost, you'd think he ate some crazy mushrooms or something, because it sounds like he's tripping. He sees four beasts. They look like human beings, but they have four faces. Four wings. They breathe fire. And it sounds almost like something, a revelation, something that would be on our movie theater to bring fear in our eyes. But this is what he says at the end of Ezekiel 1, and I'll fast forward and then I'll get back to verse 12. He says at the end of Ezekiel 1, he says, and then I realized it was the glory of God. He said, at first I didn't recognize the glory of God. He didn't recognize it because he had never experienced it. And what sometimes the devil wants to make you afraid of, you're not really afraid of, you just hadn't seen it yet. Can I just declare to somebody today that what you've been fearing in 2019, sometimes it's not the enemy. Sometimes it's not the enemy trying to scare you in place. Sometimes it's not the enemy trying to scare you out of making a move of faith. Sometimes you're scared of it because you've never encountered it. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to be scared of the thing that I've been praying for, the thing that I've been prophesying. I can't stand up on a Sunday and say, God, I want you to do a new thing, and when the new thing shows up, I'm scared. Or God, I want you to speak to me, and when God speaks to me something grand and something great, for me to draw back. If God speaks it to me, I know that there is a forward movement that he expects with the word that he has given me, and I'm not going to stand still when he's given me a word that says spring forward. Spring forward in faith, meaning I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't see where I'm going, but I know God's told me to move. So now that we know what Ezekiel's talking about, the glory of God, let's look at verse 12. I love how this reads. And each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit was about to go, that's where they went. Too many churches, too many people, too many believers miss the mark and the high calling of God because we are following people and not the Spirit of God. When we follow the Spirit of God, we will never fall. When we follow the Spirit of God, we will never trip. When we follow the Spirit of God, come on somebody, we will never stumble. But when we get our eyes on people, and we get our eyes on culture, and we get our eyes on society, and well, this church does it like this, and this guy does it like this, when we get our eyes off of the Spirit is when we start making bad decisions. But as for me, my house, and this house, we're going to be directed by the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit goes left, I don't care if the rest of the world goes right. Farewell, adieu, my friends, because I'm following the Spirit of God. I would rather follow the Spirit of God by myself than to follow the crowd the different way than the Spirit is going. I didn't even finish. I got worked up. I didn't even finish that verse. They went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit was about to go, they went without turning as they went. I share this with young people a lot because I'm big on choices and decisions. Let me just be honest with you. Your life is what you allow it to be. And so for every excuse as someone can use as to why they don't, why they can't, somebody else has overcome the same exact excuse, sometimes with a worse start than you or I might have. And they said, I'm not going to allow myself to be tied to this. I'm going to be better. And so they start making decisions and they start making choices. Pastor Becky always talks about our life is full of choices. 2,500 choices a day do we make. Some of them are weighty. Some of them are insignificant, so it seems. Some of them are McDonald's and Burger King. Some of them are Yale or Princeton. Some of them are him or her or both these days. I don't know what it is, but I'm here to tell you that when we start choosing what God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it, our life is going to follow those choices. And so the Bible says that when the Spirit of God moved, that these heavenly beings would follow the Spirit. And Ezekiel said this. He said, now I know what that is. It's the glory of God. I know a lot of times we preach big bank accounts, big cars, nice houses, and all of that's fine as we do it in perspective and as we do it in order. But I want to tell you right now that more than a bigger bank account, I want the glory of God on my life. When we talk about Shekinah glory, we are talking about a settling presence of God. I want the glory of God so thick that when I would do wrong, I have to do right. When I want to go left, I have to go the other way. When everybody else in my inner circle forgets me and turns their back and goes a different way, the glory of God does not allow me to get out of line, to get out of step. And can I encourage you, as good as this praise team is, they can sing the glory down, but unless you embrace the glory and unless you live a life that is holy and acceptable to God, the glory will visit you, but it won't stay. But I'm here to tell you, you can get to the place where when you wake up, it's not my past, it's not what's behind me, it's not even what's around me, it's what's in me and what's in front of me, and now what is on me, I need the glory of God. The callings in front of me, the spirits inside of me, and the glory is on me. When you get all of those things working, it's like a perfect steak. It's like a perfect cake. See, some of us, we speak in tongues. That's all we do. We haven't been reminded or ever taught that speaking in tongues is the symbol of the Spirit residing in you, that is working through you. Oh, I speak in tongues. I love that that is the proof of my language and my prayer language to God, and that the Spirit resides on me. But let me tell you what the Spirit really does. When I would want to quit, the Spirit says, get your tail up and keep moving forward. When I want to sit down and cry about my situation, the devil says, or the Spirit says, what are you doing letting the devil make you sit down? Get yourself up, dust yourself off, and move forward. Spring forward. Don't walk forward, spring forward. I love being the pastor at Living Way. I love being the pastor here. I've done it both ways. I've been a member and I've been a pastor. I love being the pastor. Because I can make decisions now that I don't have to ask anybody except God. So the other day, me and Tyler are next door. We've been renovating that building. And there's a closet that had some microphones that me and Tyler needed to get into. And I didn't have a key. So I made the executive decision to beat the door down. But the problem is I had no tools. So for the first 5 minutes, I used a fire extinguisher. Don't tell the fire captain. And I couldn't beat the doorknob off. I found a little cheap little screwdriver, couldn't pop the lock. So I moved everything out of the way. And this is when all of this comes in handy. And first, before I did that, I was just nudging that door as best I could, but I saw that that wasn't going to get it done. So I took about 5 or 6 steps back. Boom. Didn't open. Second time. Boom. Didn't open. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time. Boom. It didn't open. But around the 10th time, the door opened and I fell down. What happened there? What was in front of me was stopping me. And forward movement alone wasn't going to get the job done. It had to be a spring forward. I know it's been preached to death by a lot greater preachers than I am, but let me just preach to you about the arrow. The arrow's distance and velocity hinges on one thing: how fast or how far and how hard it is allowed to be pulled back. Can I encourage you this morning that some of us have been retreating not because we're going backwards, but because we're getting ready to spring forward. Some of us have taken a couple steps back the first couple months of 2019 and we said, God, I'm not retreating. I'm just getting me a little distance because I'm about to hit this stronghold. I'm about to hit this mountain. I'm about to hit this adversary and I'm going to knock him off his place and I'm not going to let him allow me. You've got to spring forward. I am here to tell you that God has something in front of you and the devil's no dummy. He knows that if you ever get to where God wants you to be in 2019,
2019 that you're going to level up. You're going to become a greater. You're going to become a more anointed. You're going to allow the glory to sit down on you. I'm looking for at least a couple dozen people that understand what I'm talking about, that the devil thought he had you when you retreated a couple steps, but all you were doing was getting you some leverage and some movement to your faith so that when you hit what the devil put between you and your miracle, it would not stand. It would not last. The devil should have taken you out in 2018 because your faith is about to spring you forward. It's not what's behind you or around you. It's what's in front of you, in you, on you. Three enemies very quickly. Praise team, come. Three enemies very quickly. Three things the devil loves to do when you start looking around. The first one is comparison. We start comparing ourselves to each other. You know, racism is comparison. Bigotry, prejudice, discrimination is comparison. I'm here to tell you, racism and prejudice in any form or fashion is from the devil. There will be no bigotry in heaven. So if you're a bigot here, you probably won't make it there. Oh, I know that's not very easy to hear. If you don't like them here, what makes you think you're going to like them there? The Bible says, how can you say you love God who you have not seen and you hate the brother that you see every day? But the comparison that a lot of us struggle with is we look at their life and then we look at our life. We look at their race and then we look at our race. We look at their outcome and we look at our outcome. Number one, you should never look at somebody who has something and wish that you had it, because number one, we don't know what they had to go through to get it. Because at the end of the day, we might not be willing to go through what they went through to get that gift or that blessing. Second of all, you want to make sure that you receive the blessing of God in due time, meaning you don't receive the right thing at the wrong time. It can be injurious to you. Tyler started driving. I'll pray for me, and I'll give y'all a heads up when he's on the road. Been driving my F-250 this week by himself on our property, not on the roads. All he can hurt is horses and hay. That's all he can hurt. He drives like a grandma. He's so careful right now. It's awesome. Yeah, he drives like you, Pastor Becky. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you say that's a good thing? I'm in the doghouse now. So Tyler is entrusted with this 2-ton truck. Where 10 years ago, I didn't even want him to ride in the truck with me, let alone drive the truck, because he was not ready. And see, the problem when we look at other people is we allow their greatness to diminish where we are in our race and our walk. Listen, if you're further down the track than I am, I want to learn from you. I don't want to make myself feel bad because you're farther than you are. And if you're farther back than I am, I want you to glean from what I'm doing. I don't want to be injurious to your walk with God. We're all in a race. We're all in a walk. And we need to be doing our part to help people get to where we are and to strive to get to where someone else is going to be. But I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm trying to keep up with Jesus. I'm not in a race with you. I'm running after my God with everything that's within me. I am a God chaser. I am a Jesus pursuer. I'm not running after man. I'm not running after your affection. I'm not running after your amen. I don't care if you like my post on Instagram. I don't care if you block me on Facebook. It's not about you and me. It's about me and Jesus. It's about you and Jesus. And I want to do everything I can do to help you run your race. And I hope that you'll help cheer me on in my race to run with Jesus. Social media has devastated people because you see their life and then you compare it to yours. Don't judge your life by their highlight reel. A lot of people on Facebook show you the high points. They don't show you the low points. Now, there's some people that all they do is show the low points. And I'm not going to compare my chapter to your book. I'm at a different place than you are. You're at a different place than
I am happy for where God has brought me from, but I've got too much focus to look to the left and right and compare myself to you. Second thing is competition. When we start looking around, we start competing. I'm not competing with anybody except myself. My job on March 10th is to be a better version of Brandon than I was on March 9th. My job as a husband is to be a better husband in year 17 than year 16. My job as a father is to not be a better father than my father or grandfather was. My job is to be the father God created me to be and to be a better father in April than I am in March. Bishop said it already. We love the Hagees. Pastor Matthew and I text back and forth. We have a relationship of peers, not of competitors. There's 2 million people in the greater San Antonio area. They all can't go to Cornerstone. They all can't go to Living Way. They all can't go to New Creation. They all can't go to Community Bible. They all can't even go to the church at the Alamo Dome if someone should start one. I'm not in competition with them. I'm in relationship with them. They do it their way. We do it our way. And as long as we all come under the umbrella of Jesus Christ, that's all that matters. I'm not competing with you. I'm your brother. I'm your cheerleader. I'm your faith. I'm your praise partner. I'm going to pray you into the next level. I'm going to pray you out of debt. I'm going to pray you out of sickness. I'm going to pray you out of marital strife. I'm going to pray you out of division. I'm going to pray you out of unemployment. I'm going to pray you out of bankruptcy. I'm going to pray you into ministry. I'm going to pray you into the anointing. I'm going to pray you into the glory. I'm not competing with you. I'm too busy running my race and springing forward than to check where you are on your track and where you are on your track. Boom. Third and final thing, stand on your feet, is complacency. When I start looking around, I can't move forward. It's impossible for me to move forward if I'm looking at you on the left or I'm looking at you on the right. I get off my track. When I mow those big 100, 200 acre pastures, I like to mow in straight lines. And so I don't look at the ground in front of me. I fixate on a point on the horizon, a fence post, a tree. And I just keep my eye on that tree, so I mow in a straight line. Can I encourage somebody, quit looking down. That's not where your help comes from. Quit looking around. That's not where your help comes from. Listen, I love you. You're too busy in your race on Monday to help me with my race on Monday. Just pray for me as you run. I'll pray for you as I run. But in complacency, we look down, we start looking around, and we get stuck. I want to end just the last 60 seconds talking to a believer today that's stuck. No growth, stagnant, nothing's changed, nothing's happened new, afresh in your life. I've gotten a truck stuck 2 or 3 times. It is a terrible feeling. Usually because it's Bishop's truck, and I was scared of what was going to happen when he found out. And that's how a lot of us are. We're scared of what the Father's going to do when he sees us stuck. And you know what the Father says? Just get unstuck. Move forward. But what do I do, Pastor Brandon? I don't feel like I've made any progress. Fixate on what's in front of you. Not on what's behind you. Not on what's around you. Remember, you have something great in you. You have something great in front of you. You have something great on you. You've got destiny in front of you. You've got the Spirit in you. You've got the glory on you. And like Ezekiel said, I'm going to walk straight. I'm not going to waver to the left or right. I'm putting my hand to the plow, and I'm going to be a new creature. I'm going to get unstuck. I'm going to do something brand new. I'm going to get somebody stronger to pull me out. Come on now. Have somebody faith me out, pray me out, praise me out of this funk I'm in. Saul would get stuck. He'd call David. David, come praise. Come play your harp. Praise me out of the stuck state that I'm in. Spring forward today. I open this altar right now for anybody in this place. Anybody in this place that what I've said today, you said, Pastor Brandon, that's me. I've been